Hello everybody, welcome or welcome back to Being the Anime. I'm Blue, that's Brad, and today we are going to be discussing A Sign of Affection.
Yeah, I'm so excited to sit down and talk to you about this. I have not been able to shut the fuck up about this since it first started airing, so I apologize for nothing for making you watch this one. I could not be more excited
I'm stoked for it. I was not expecting it. I mean, I was expecting it to be pretty good. You had explained the premise before I started watching it, so I was like, I knew what I was getting into, but it was actually really good, and it was definitely what I requested. I requested a romance anime about adults, so it's not weird, and this was that, which is great. I thought it was great, but before we get properly into it, we have some vanity to discuss.
Yeah, we gotta talk about ourselves, because we are obviously the most important people here. Oh my god, yeah.
Oh my god, yeah.
So you go first, because you're obviously the most important one here. So you just go first.
Yeah, you can take that back.
No.
Yeah. Anyway. what have I done? I haven't really done much.
You're fully healed now, so that's news.
Bone is healed, which is great. Yeah, my CT scan came back to say I no longer have a broken arm, so I don't get to use that as an excuse anymore, which is sad. But I'm still on a 1 pound weight limit because of the fact that I still have major muscular atrophy because of not using my arm for like 8 months at this point. I feel like it's probably a bit, no, it's like 7 months. It's slightly dramatic. I'm still in physio regularly to get back my range of motion. And then I have another appointment with my surgeon in about a month's time where we are going to discuss proper weight training again to get back that muscular stuff, guys.
You're going to be so strong.
Right, yeah. In the meantime, yeah, I just have like these 1 pound wrist weights, because like a big thing is, because it's my wrist that's the issue, I can't hold the weight in my hand because it puts too much stress on my wrist. Mm-hmm. So I have to attach the weight to my forearm. So I've got like those like wrist weights that like tennis players use and stuff, like the arm weights.
Yeah.
So I've got those that I've been wearing to just do like chores and stuff. So like I'm just like using my arm in a normal way with a 1 pound weight on it. So it's really not doing a heck of a lot, but it is doing a heck of a lot because I haven't had anything to do with that arm for so long. So that's where I'm at right now. And then with my surgeon next month, we discuss my other arm, because guess what? I have it in both arms.
Oh, so, my God. Why?
But the thing is that people have ulnar impaction disorder, and it just never affects them throughout their whole life, and they just have a long ulnar and it's fine. The issue for me was that it was pushing my wrist bones out of place and wearing away the cartilage of my wrist, and it was going to end up giving me like premature arthritis and like just general pain. I already had some pain in it. My cartilage has a huge hole in it. And as you know, Brad, once you fuck up your cartilage, you can't come back from that. It's fucked.
Yep. So, nope. It's done at that point. It's so much fun.
Yeah. So with my left arm, I obviously don't use my left hand as much as my right arm because I'm right hand dominant. So I have noticed some slight pain every now and again, just like a twinge of like, oh, that feels weird. And I know that feeling because that's what it started with in my right hand. So I'm still going to go likely get an MRI in my left and just make sure that that cartilage isn't actually tearing. If it is tearing, then I will likely look into getting the surgery there too, because I don't want both wrists fucked up before the age of 30. That would be great.
Yeah, no, that would not be good.
Yeah. So I'll probably have that as a preventative surgery rather than this one was more of a, like, I mean, it's still kind of a preventative surgery, but also just a recovery surgery to like stop it. Stop it. So yeah, I will likely have my ulna shortened in my left arm at some point as well, but that is not anywhere near as urgent because it's not painful and it's not my dominant hand. So that one can wait, which is great.
Yeah.
But at least my neighbors are paying for it with our healthcare system. Thank you, taxes.
Hooray for free healthcare. Whereas for me, God, everything's so expensive.
Honestly, I would not have elected to have had this surgery had I been in America. Like, genuinely, I would have just suffered. Like, because
yeah,
it has knocked me out for months. So, and the actual surgery itself was, like, I was under for a few hours. Like, I had a bone marrow graft thing for my hip. Like, I had, like, the amount of physio that I've been having, plus all of the, like, my braces and I've had probably close to 50 x-rays now, 2 CT scans, an MRI. Like, just the testing itself would have put me in bankruptcy, like, let alone the actual surgery. So
yeah, no, it's not cheap. No. My ultrasound I got on my abdomen, I think after insurance, still cost me like $300.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's fuck, it's not, it's so expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one way to do it. It's not a way that I've ever lived with. So, I mean, my perspective is very biased because I've only ever lived with free healthcare at the NHS in the UK and then the public healthcare here in Canada. So in my opinion, it's the best way to do things. I just think it's important. And I think it's, I don't want my neighbors to have to suffer medically when I can pay a little bit more in taxes and help them heal. To me, it's worth whatever cost comes out of my paycheck.
Yeah, no, I 100% get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. So I see zero fault with it. I think it's one of those things to where if you want to pay for private health insurance, like, you can.
Yeah.
But be an elective universal health care should be available to everyone because it's just kind of the decent thing to do.
Yeah.
But as we all know, capitalism and being decent human beings do not go hand in hand with one another whatsoever.
No, that is fully true. Fully, fully, fully true. What was I thinking about the other day or reading about? Or watching. There was something about capitalism that I was like, I think it was a manoir. I can speak. I don't remember. I've been reading a lot more Korean and Chinese comics recently. Mm-hmm. Because it's not a area that I've really explored into, but the webtoons that they come out with are fucking sick, my guy. Like, sick.
Have you checked out Solo Leveling?
No. Is that on the list? Do I need to read it immediately?
Well, I mean, we're going to be covering the anime in a couple of weeks, so it's entirely up to you. But I hear as far as art goes for manhwa, it is top tier.
Mm.
And I mean like the top tier of the top tier.
Okay.
So A1 Pictures had a lot to live up with whenever it came to actually animating it. And they fucking cooked with episode 11, so I'm excited for the final episode.
Okay.
But, yeah, it looked like they outsourced their animation to Ufotable. Like, it looked like a Fate fight scene. That's how incredibly well done it was. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know A1 Pictures had it in them.
Wow.
It was very well done. So high praise from me going into that because it was splendid.
Yeah, that makes me wonder what subsidiary studios helped work on it.
Yeah, I'm also quite curious because, again, I was very, very impressed with it.
Yeah, it's actually, I find it quite hard to reverse search those. Like, whenever we're researching for the podcast for background information, we always find the studio that made it. But every now and again, we'll review something from a really small studio that has credits to where they helped out with like big animations. Zolman 100 is a recent example of that. When we looked at their credits, Zolman 100 was the first anime that they had made purely by themselves. And then everything else that they had done were credits on bigger pictures where they had just like helped out and they'd outsourced this smaller studio to do some stuff, but it's actually really hard to find the smaller studios when you don't know, like, you only know the big studio.
Yeah.
Like you can search from the small studio what they've done, but you can't search from the big studio what small studios helped them make their work, which is, like, mm-hmm. I get it, but also that feels so slimy. Like, give them a shout out if they did that sick scene that you're taking all the credit for. Like, let us know. Put them in the credits.
I mean, I think they do on, like, the final episode, like, whenever you actually get a credit roll. And who knows, maybe it is actually put throughout the, you know, the OP or the ED, whenever the credits do roll. Mm. I can't read Japanese, so I can't tell you what's actually in it.
Yeah,
so.
That's a fair point.
Who knows? All I know is I'm blown away by what I saw this week. So it was very, very good.
Yeah. What else have I been up to? Honestly, not much. Tilly found a big stick.
Tilly did find a very big stick. That made me so happy to sit down in the theater yesterday, check my phone, and just see Tilly with a big stick. I was like, "Aw, that's adorable."
Yeah.
And I needed it because I was fucking crying in the theaters. Aww. I was being a big old bubble blowing bitch.
Yeah. Well, we went to the big dog park that's, like, in the city, not in the big city, but, like, in the city that's near where I live. And it is surrounded a river, and the river's in, like, a temperamental phase right now, because obviously we're kind of in between seasons here in Canada, so it's melting a little bit, but it's also currently snowing, so, like, it's ice, but it's not safe ice. So normally we tend to, like, we have goldens. I fucking love anything water. So normally we try to avoid it this time of year. But they've actually been, like, we've been working a lot on their call and response. And they've been doing so, so well that they immediately come back now to their names and to my whistle. My parents can't whistle, so it's just my whistle. and they immediately come back and... and so we were like, okay, let's take him. And we were walking around and there was this branch, like, not even a stick, like a branch. And it was probably like 7 foot long or like a meter and a half. And maybe even a little bit longer than that. But diameter was probably 3 inches or about 7 centimeters. I'm not doing conversions. I'm trying to estimate in both measurements. So if they're completely different, don't blame me. Okay, I'm trying to figure it out in a way that works for both Americans and Brits, because Canadians are a mix. They're like, are some things we do in kilometers, some things we do in feet, something like. Canadians are weird. They've had the influence of both countries, and it's, I don't really know what I am anymore. But, yeah, so she found this really big stick, and I jokingly picked it up and gave it to her. And that was it. That was her stick for the walk, and she carried it around probably, like, a good way. Eventually, I took it away from her and gave her a different stick because she was going to knock people over. But, it was so heavy, and I was like, you're gonna hurt your neck, like, just from, like, holding this giant stick. And then every now and again, another dog would come, like, bounding along and chomp at the stick, and she had a great time. But yeah, that was, so I took pictures because it was hilarious and sent one to Brad, and I will probably post it on the Instagram story, soon. I don't know when, probably in the past if you're listening to this, though.
So, probably sauce. Yeah, things. that's why you should be following BNB Anime on Instagram, because you'll just randomly get a doggo pic on the story. Even I don't know when we have doggo pic on the story. I just check it and I'm like, oh, my day's made.
Yeah, and I've been trying to post more memes, although I've been slacking the past couple days, so I need to post.
Yeah, shame on you for doing what I haven't done in over a year.
but yeah, the Instagram used to just be like podcast updates, but I'm trying to make it more of an actual feed that's, like, fun. So I've been making a whole bunch of memes. They're all me made. I made them. Although sometimes I pick Brad's brains, because we do share three brain cells between us, and sometimes he has two of them, and therefore I need to borrow the extra. So I've been trying to make more memes. I think they're dumb. They're not really funny, but I'm trying my best.
They're great.
I feel like they're so old school. Like, they're not like modern memes. I feel like they're like 2012 memes, and I'm like, how do I make new memes? But I don't really know. So
it's fine. They're great. Yeah. Give yourself more credit.
I'm supposed to be a Zoomer, but I'm not. I'm a millennial.
Oh, it's all right. You're my favorite Zoomer, so it's okay.
I'm barely a Zoomer. I squeaked in there.
You're a youngin'. It's fine.
Only people that were born earlier than me in the year, which is quite a few because I'm a November baby, are less Zoomer than I am. But
it's fine. Who's counting anyway? Just like that extra half inch on your height. Who's counting?
Yeah, that's true. I count, though.
Oh.
But yeah, what about you? I've been vain. Now it's your turn to be vain.
I got promotion at work, and I'm very tired. That's all. That's how it's been.
I act so surprised about the promotion, even though I've known about it for months. But yay!
Yeah, hooray. It's been in the works for a very, very long time, and it finally came to fruition. And now I'm making more money that I'm literally just going to blow on us in Japan. So it's fine.
Yeah. So everybody, that's all. Give congrats to Brad, because he worked really hard for it. And he's very deserving. And he's good at his job, even though I've never worked with him. But I can tell you that. I mean, I've worked with him on this. Arigato gozaimasu.
I was going to say, if anything, you probably see more. Well, no, I'm not going to say that because I fucking slack at this a lot. So I was going to say, at least you see my true work ethic with this. But no, you don't. Because
I do. Oh, God. Because you edit. Brad, be editor.
I still am pretty much a full-time editor at this point. But I've still got so much more shit to learn and figure out. So it's fine. I do it. I do the thing.
One day at a time, one video at a time, and I do the audio and social media that I'm slacking on. But
it's fine. You're fine. You do it. You do good.
Whenever it's a weekend, my brain's just like, and you don't need to do anything. And I'm like, I don't work on a regular week schedule. Why am I still stuck on this week schedule?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I could do stuff this weekend, but also, no, I can't. I can't be bothered.
Yeah. And honestly, if you can't be fucked, then what's the point?
Exactly. Oh, shall we get into, I guess, what I could only describe as my new favorite romance anime of all time?
Ooh, yes. Okay. So, A Sign of Affection. I guess you're going to want to do background on it. I was going to jump right into it, but you need background. We need background.
Yeah, no, I gotta do more vanity stuff where I talk about things because Brad I do the thing.
Brad
talks about Brad. Yeah, this is my favorite romance anime. It's mine. I do it. I get to talk about it.
So blue butt out.
But yeah, so A Sign of Affection is a manga written by Sue Morishita. It is a shoujo because, of course, it fucking is. It has run from July 24th of 2019 to present for a total of 10 volumes. As far as what's available in English, there is currently 7 volumes, with the 8th one being released next month. I have all 7 literally right here. They are all in very, very pretty pastel colors. I love them a lot. The anime was directed by Yuta Murano. It was done by Studio Ajido Animation Works. See here, it ran from January 6th of 2024 through March 23rd of 2024 for a total of 12 episodes.
I'm trying to see if I know anything else from Ajido, but I just don't know if I have.
How not to summon a demon lord. Oh, they did Ascendance of a Bookworm.
Ah.
Haven't you seen that?
I feel like we were recently talking about it.
It's because I feel like you've seen it. Like, we haven't actually covered it on the podcast, but I feel like you've seen it.
Maybe I have. I'll have to go back and check my archives because it's not ringing a bell right now, but the amount of shit that I've watched, sometimes things just leave my brain.
I've heard incredible things about Ascendance of a Bookworm, and I'm honestly sad that we haven't covered it because of how much incredible things I've heard about it. What's the library manga that you like to read?
A different thing. Oh, it's like The Mages of the Library. No, it's not that. I'm combining two things. I can't remember. This is gonna bug me. It's a young lad in a fantasy realm wants to become a librarian. He lives in a kind of like deserty area, and then he goes to like a school, and he has to take it. In the first volume, he has to go to like take exams at like a library school. So if you know what I'm talking about, that's what I'm reading. Read in the past. I think I stopped at like volume 3 a while ago, and I haven't picked it back up again because I had to wait for more translations and then never went back. I will figure it out, and I will probably put it on the social somewhere. Like, I feel like it is like The Mages of the Library or something, but it's not quite that, I don't think.
Who knows? I don't know. I was just kind of talking out of my ass because I feel like we have talked about Ascendance of a Bookworm, but like we haven't covered it, and I definitely haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. But again, I've heard incredible things. So who knows? That may be on the list at some point. I feel like we put it on the list before and never got around to it. So the spreadsheet is literally just shenanigans at this point.
Agreed. Yeah.
So yeah, A Sign of Affection, you've got background stuff
I
to go over too.
I do have background stuff. I'm going to re-explain how I do the background stuff just because it's been it wasn't that long ago that I re-explained it last time, but I feel like we've got some new listeners recently, so I do just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So I get my background information from My Anime List and Anime Planet, which are two like anime logging websites where you can go on and say like what you've watched, what you want to watch, that kind of thing. And so on My Anime List, this scored an 8.38 out of 10 from just public. Like when you say I've watched this, you can give a little rating and it calculates the ratings across the board. And it's a really good way to get like a general idea of what people thought of the anime in general, usually as well what English speakers thought of the anime, because sometimes it's very different from what the Japanese audience originally thought, which I find fascinating. So yeah, scored an 8.32 out of 10 on My Anime List and a 4.34 out of 5 on Anime Planet, which is an 8.68 out of 10, giving it an average score of 8.50 out of 10 between the two sites. I also then go on to Anime Planet specifically because they have a drop rate calculator. So, well, they don't. I calculate it, but they have a section where you can say that you dropped the anime. And I think My Anime List does now as well, but I haven't seen it, and it's not anywhere near as easily accessible for me to get as the My Anime List one is, so I do go off of that one. And basically what I take is the completed, like the watched, and the dropped, and I only take those two for the calculations because watching and want to watch, I used to calculate with watching, but I found that it skewed the results a little bit. So because sometimes people are watching it and they're watching it for 20 years because they never moved it over to the fact that they've dropped it, right? So I only calculate the watched and the dropped. And this one scored a 9.78%, which I feel like is high. And I don't really get why. But yeah, I normally when I'm looking for a first season, one core anime, I'm looking at more of like we normally average around like a 5-6%, like that's pretty standard. Nearly 10% feels like, not extraordinarily high, but quite high. Like, it's unusual for us to get near that 10% mark.
Yeah, especially for something along these lines. Like, it's not like we watch something incredibly niche by any means. Like, this is, for one, like I said, it's perfect for you because it checks every box that you want out of a romance anime.
Mm-hmm.
But also for me, like, it checked every single one of my boxes. So I am shook with the fact that it has almost a 10% drop rate. I am quite upset over this.
Yeah, I'm trying to find something that has, like, a similar drop rate so that I can...
But it also just ended, too. So a lot of people could just not have moved it over from the, you know, currently watching to...
Yeah, that's fair.
No longer watching, because it's only been done for 2 days now.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, it ended on Saturday, so...
But something that has... So Keijo, for instance, has a 10.80% drop rate. And Keijo is an incredibly niche... specific kind of anime. Like, it's very polarizing in your opinion. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. And because it's a very niche kind of comedy, it's quite insane. I'm trying to find... Are You Lost was another one that had a 9.7%. They were very short episodes that were just kind of silly little goofy things. So I kind of get it. I'm trying to find... Like, Cheer Boys had just over 12% drop rate. To Your Eternity had an 11.25% drop rate. Slow Loop had a 13%. These are a little bit higher than... This was still in the under the 10%. But yeah, like... I was very surprised that this had a nearly 10% drop rate. I will calculate it again next week just to see if that does... drop a little bit, but I found that most of the time they tend to stay, like, it might drop by like a couple tenths, but I don't think it'll drop by like percents. So I'm curious as to why people didn't find it finishable.
Yeah, so if you did drop this, let us know why in the comments down below, because I'm also very, very curious now.
Yeah, I feel like, especially because, like dropping something is a pretty intense reaction to me. Like, I don't tend to drop things unless I really don't want to finish them, as opposed to, like, I will watch things that I'm not particularly keen on, but I've started, so I'll finish them, you know? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know. It makes me curious as to what specifically about the show made it so that, like, 4% more people than I was kind of expecting dropped the show.
Yeah. Tell us who you are. Explain yourselves, because I'm upset.
Explain yourselves. But yeah, so that's the background. So now I'm going to give an overview of the anime, and then we're going to chuck on our spoiler chicken hats. So anything past the spoiler chicken hats, don't listen to if you haven't watched the show, or if you like spoilers, then I guess you can be spoiled. But so overview of A Sign of Affection is it's about college students who are navigating their, like, it's kind of a coming of age kind of thing. It's a little bit like college students, so it's not like the high school coming of age thing, but it is definitely a like an adulthood discovery kind of show, but also breaching into the world of living with a disability and living with an invisible disability, because our main character is deaf. Yuki is an incredibly sweet, kind person who is kind of, up until she started college, been isolated from the rest of the world due to her disability, but also due to the fact that she went to a school for the deaf all throughout her entire education up until this point. So she is branching out into a whole new world and experiencing many new things, but at the same time, we also have Itsu, who is our male lead, who has been thrust into the big wide world since a very young age because he moved all around the world. He's traveled a whole bunch, and he's in the same college as her. And so it's kind of about them getting to know each other, exploring each other's, like, worlds, how differently they live and they navigate the world, and their relationships with their friends, with other people in their community and broadening their horizons in just like self-discovery and discovery of each other. So it's a very like simple plotted anime. There's not a whole lot that comes along in the plot, but the storyline is very sweet and kind. And it's also, I think, something that a lot of us can relate to, even if we are not around the same things as these characters, we still experience and learn the same lessons that they do throughout life. So it's, I liked it a lot. I thought it was, spoiler alert, I liked it a lot. that's kind of the main premise of the show, unless you had anything that you wanted to add to it.
No, that pretty much covers like a general overview of what we're covering. So I have nothing more to add.
Yeah, it's really hard to do those descriptions without spoiling when you've watched the whole show. I try to be like, because I forget what's a spoiler and what's not, like what came out in the first episode and what's like four or five episodes in. And I'm like, does that count as a spoiler? You know, like, ugh. But I feel like that.
We're stepping on so many toes. It's fine.
It's one of those shows where there's not too many spoilers anyway, because it's not like a mystery where, like, you know, it's a pretty self-explanatory show, and a lot of the things that would be considered like plot twists or plot surprises are fairly predictable. In a good way, it's a comfy show, so you don't want there to be like a shocking surprise that like terrifies you and makes you uncomfortable. Like, the show's not for that. It's for you to just comfortably sit back and watch and enjoy. So it's kind of okay that the show is fairly predictable.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think there was anything in it that surprised me.
No, yeah. Definitely not. I think the only thing that surprised me was just how much I enjoyed the show. Mm-hmm. But that's really all that kind of came as a surprise to me about this.
So yeah, let's chuck those spoiler chicken hats on and dive into the depths of A Sign of Affection. Macaque. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. So first things first that I kind of want to talk about, the way that they animated all of the sign language, I am a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that the mangaka stated in the writing of the manga and, you know, like the author's notes of it, was they were so worried about how to get everything to translate to a manga perspective and still be able to get a lot of the points across and make everything make sense. So they hired someone that actually knew Japanese sign language and could help them, you know, put that to use in the manga and make it understandable and, you know, be able to get the points across and kind of give like a true representation of Japanese sign language. But then to be able to carry that over into the anime and like fully replicate sign. And it honestly, it just made me really happy. It reminded me a lot of Bocchi and how they took the time to be so accurate with the music that they were playing. Like, so much time and effort went into the making of the show, so I just had to give big kudos to that, because it was incredibly well done, in my opinion. Major props.
Yeah, this is coming from two people who don't know how to speak Japanese sign language, so we can't tell you if the signs are correct, but it did definitely portray the feeling that they wanted to.
Yeah, 100%, and it seems to have matched what I read in the manga. So if they put the amount of work into it that they, you know, did in the manga, then it is very, very accurate and it comes across very, very well.
Yeah, I hope so. I liked that as well. I liked that whenever they were signing and they did the voiceover for whatever they were saying, specifically, I noticed it between Yuki and her childhood friend, who I just need to double check the name on because I can never remember.
Oishi?
Yeah. Oishi? Delicious. No. Oishi. whenever they were talking to each other in more rapid sign language, whenever they were voicing it, there seemed like they had put some reverb or something on the voice actors' voices. It sounded like, I was listening to it with my chunky headphones that I have on now, like over-the-ear headphones. And it really seemed like they had done something to the audio. I feel like a tiny little bit of reverb that made it sound different to when, like, Yuki was speaking in her head, like we were hearing her thought voice, or when Oshii was speaking to either Yuki or somebody else. Like, it sounded different. And I was curious, I'm curious to hear, to know if anybody else picked up on that or if I'm just hearing things, but I feel like they did. And if they really did do that, because it's very subtle, then I think that was an incredibly interesting stylistic choice for them to have subconsciously forced our minds to hear them differently. So literally, we heard them differently if they did do that. But like, it was so subtle that I don't know that a lot of people would have necessarily heard it, especially if they weren't listening with like big headphones like I'm listening. I don't know. I just thought that was so clever that they were like adding that other element of, you know, this is a different language. They're speaking a whole other language, and making us like auditorily hear that. I know. I thought that was very clever.
Well, not only that, but take Yuki also as an example of whenever we hear her thoughts, there's nothing in the background. Mm-hmm. Like, it's dead silence to, I guess, like capture things from her perspective and like just how quiet the world is.
Yeah.
Or if it's not dead quiet, there's like a small ringing to it.
Yeah.
I guess to like mimic the noise that the hearing aids make in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's just that to me was also incredibly impactful for what they were trying to do and get across. Cause again, it just brings forth the perspective of, you know, how it feels to see things from Yuki's perspective.
No, I noticed that as well. And I really liked that they did that they made us sit in those moments of silence quite often throughout the show and, you know, allowed us to kind of enter her world as a character a little bit and remind us constantly of her world, of her perspective. Because I feel like sometimes with shows, not necessarily like this, but other, like I've seen characters with like disabilities in anime and in media in general, where their disability is like so glossed over that they almost don't even have a disability anymore. So it's not like glossed over to the point where it's like, it's just them, that's just who they are and they have a disability, so what, you know? It's not like that kind of glossed over. It's like, oh, they're, you know, maybe they're blind or something and they do not have any issues with, you know, navigation or whatever, you know? And it's just like, they're not even blind. Like they just kind of take, like in trying to normalize it, they take away the disability instead of just normalizing the disability, you know? You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like they did a fairly decent job with Yuki with reminding us as audience members that this is something that she lives with on the daily. And I mean, this is a show about her falling in love, but dealing with the complications of being deaf. So her deafness is a primary feature of the show. But I think they did a very good job of building her out as a character of having interests outside of, like, she's not just her deafness. I think they did a fairly decent job of making her, like, interested in photography and, you know, like, wanting to join a club at university and crushing on a boy and, like, making friends and, like, all of these other things that just normal human beings go through when they're in college. They built her out fairly well as a human, like, just as a human, you know? I don't know how I'm articulating myself.
No, I fully get it. Like, she was very much portrayed as a normal character in a normal show. Mm-hmm. Like, despite her disability, like, she had interest, she had growth. Like, you, like, were able to see and experience everything, like, from her perspective and in her world. So that in and of itself was very, very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple of things that I saw with the animation that I thought were really cute. They did, like, eyeball movement. Like, their eyeballs, like, whenever they were looking at each other, their eyeballs are, like, flicking between the other person's eyes. Like, you could see them, like, we do naturally whenever we're looking at a person and you're, like, don't know whether to focus on the left or the right eyeball, so you're like flicking between the two and you don't even realize that you're doing it, but you're doing it. Like, they animated that, And I thought that was really cute. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes when Yuki was like swooning, the little reflections in her eyes were like little hearts. And it was like really mm-hmm. cute. I really liked that. I wasn't too keen on the lips of one of Oshii's friends.
Yeah.
Because that style of animation, specifically the like circle mouth, has such a bad vibe to me because of mm-hmm. that was how they often animated black characters in anime for like the longest time, and it was just bad. And now, even though I don't believe he's a black character, I think he's Japanese like everybody else, that still has that association with me, and it feels mm-hmm. icky. So I just am not a fan of that animation style. Plus, I think it made me focus too much on his lips, and then I was focused on everybody's lips. And when a predominant part of the anime is lip reading, I then became like hyper focused on the animation of the lips of all of the characters, and it almost took me out of the show because I was like they're like just staring at their characters' lips because I was just focused on it so much, and my ADHD was like magnified. And so I wasn't a fan of that for those reasons. Oh, I really liked in the beginning episodes. I didn't really notice it so much in the later episodes, but that might have just been because I wasn't thinking about it as much. But the tech integration with how they like popped up the text on screen. And I know that was a consistent thing throughout the show was the use of tech, but I liked the way that they like added it for us as viewers, as opposed to just showing the phones, which they did quite a lot, but they also did other ways of it. So it wasn't repetitive viewing. I liked that.
Yeah, it was different every time. Like sometimes they would show the phone. Other times they would show up like this text bubbles on the screen mm-hmm. and like translate it. And they like it never felt old whenever they would do it. Like they always just changed it up enough to where it's just like, yeah, okay, I like that a lot.
Yeah, because it was such a heavily integrated part of the show that it could have very easily become very repetitive. So yeah, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the dynamic of relationships mm-hmm. throughout the show as well was incredibly interesting in the way a lot of the stuff was handled and seeing how all of the different characters handled the adversity throughout mm-hmm. the show. Because for one, Yuki and Itsuomi trying to, you know, mitigate through Yuki's disability while trying to, you know, have a relationship together with one another was, for one of the sweetest things I've ever seen in an anime, like learning sign language to get closer to someone. Mm-hmm. Like I love that a lot. Mm-hmm. That's very, very cute, very sweet. But then Itsuomi's relationship with Emma and Shin and seeing how all of that kind of played out in like the weird love triangle-esque thing. But then Yuki and Itsuomi and Oshii and how all of that played out and the character growth that Oshii was, you know, somewhat going through and how it wasn't actually settled in the season mm-hmm. and it definitely seems like it won't be because he's very set on trying to get Yuki to fall in love with him mm-hmm. or just to be able to like notice him back in the same way that he, you know, loves her. And I like that a lot in the sense of how like that wasn't resolved because that's not something that you can resolve in a timely manner. Like those feelings don't go away that quickly.
Yeah.
So definitely, definitely like what the show was doing with that, but also how Itsuomi was like, okay, yeah, I get it. You like Yuki, but let's you and I be friends. Like mm-hmm. I want to see, you know, why you two get along. So let's be friends. And then they go out drinking together and it's, you know, it's awkward and tense and then it's funny. And it's just, I love the show's use of, you know, going back and forth between like wholesome storytelling and then comedy the way that it does. And like, it's a blatant difference between the two. Like whenever it goes comedy, you know, because the animation style changes yeah. and it's just lighthearted and it's fun. And then it goes back to genuinely being like one of the most well animated shows of modern era, even though it's incredibly simplistic, it's still beautifully animated, especially the date in the last episode. Oh my god, that was stunning.
Yeah, like the Wisteria, that was so beautiful that I knew it was Wisteria before they said that it was Wisteria, and I was like, like, I love that. I agree with you. I think the friendship dynamics were like, the relationships between the characters, platonically or non, throughout the show really made it what it is. For instance, Rin, I love Rin as a friend to Yuki, someone who started off as just kind of an aide for Yuki in school to help her take notes, and then ended up becoming like besties with her and then bonding over the guys that they like, and you know, having sleepovers and introducing each other to like their worlds, and Rin just wholeheartedly accepting her and like supporting her with her relationship and cheering her on and just being the best wing woman ever. And I thought that their relationship was really, really cute. And it's really nice to see that even the people that are going after our main characters aren't bad people. Like, the amount of times where you watch a romance show and it's like, who would be Emma, would end up being like a complete horrible person. And it's like, she's not a horrible person. She's just liked the same person for forever and they don't like her back. And, you know, she's been unapologetically putting herself out there. And yeah, that puts her in situations where we look at it and we're like, okay, you're crossing a boundary there. But Itsuomi didn't really put a boundary, like a verbal boundary there anyway. So for instance, like when Emma goes over to his apartment and like crashes, like Itsuomi, he never was like, okay, Emma, like leave. You know, you're, why did you come here? Like, what are you doing? He just kind of like let her be and hang out. And then when he realized later that that confused Yuki and made her feel like insecure in where they were at in their relationship, because they weren't dating at that point, but they were, you know, on the way to dating. And when he realized that Yuki was feeling insecure because of his, you know, ambiguous relationship with Emma, he then said, I won't let her do that again. But at the time, Emma didn't have anything there to say, hey, you know, back off, I don't like want this, other than the fact that he did turn her down for being asked out, but then he was also incredibly friendly to her afterwards, so I understand why she was getting like mixed signal vibes and like, maybe it's okay for me to keep pursuing because he hasn't straight up said stop pursuing me, you know? So, and Oshi, I feel like, was a little bit more of a complicated character for a lot of people. I was seeing in the comments that there were a lot of people, like, for instance, one that laughed me a lot in the episode where they went drinking, underneath that, I was looking at the comments on Crunchy, and there was one that was like, I better not see anybody feeling sorry for Oshi. The direct comment underneath it was, I feel bad for Oshi. And they both had like 500 likes. So, you know, he's a very controversial character. I think a lot of people saw him as being, I can't think of the word, discriminatory to Yuki because of the fact that he was like, she should just stay in her comfort zone. She shouldn't go out and explore the world. Like, I don't want her to like, whatever. I saw him as a very insecure young man. Like, I think a lot of his actions could definitely be taken as discriminatory. I don't think that was what was going on behind those actions, though. I think when he said she better, like, I think she should just stay where she is, that to me came across as more of a, I want her there as my fallback option, kind of. Like, that sounds really bad, but like, that's kind of where I felt like it is. Like, I feel like he would have said that to her whether or not she was disabled. If she was just shy, I feel like he would have been like, she's my fallback option, so I'm gonna go out and live my life, and then eventually we're gonna get together. And he was just kind of relying on life that they would be together at one point in their adulthood. Like, he didn't have to worry about making a move on her because she would just be there for him whenever he wanted to eventually decide to make a move, right? So I guess you could just say rude, like that he didn't see her as being attractive enough to get other people. And that's where I think the discrimination comes in, because he saw her as being unattractive because of her disability. And I don't necessarily mean like physically unattractive. I mean like not, he didn't see other men as valuing her enough to meet her where she's at. He thought because he kept blaming everybody else of being like, you think you're so good for learning sign language for her, but that doesn't make you a good person. But that's what he did. He made himself feel better by learning sign language for her. So he was projecting that completely.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah. But I don't think he's a bad person. I just think he needs to grow up.
Yeah, no, that's kind of one of the main things I was seeing in the comment sections about it, is just how immature he was, and just about how it was bad for the way he was going about things.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, good intentions, if acted upon poorly and, you know, even done in poor taste, just leads to, you know, just overall bad intentions in a way.
Yeah.
So I don't think that came out right, but I think my point stands.
Where you're going with it. He was just relying on the fact that she would always be there. And that's what kind of pisses me off. But I'm so proud of Yuki for stepping out of her comfort zone and like terrifyingly exploring the world. Like, even before this anime starts with her just going to college, like that in itself.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Like, if I were in her shoes, I would be absolutely terrified, and I can't guarantee that I would have done that if I were in her shoes. So that's, I love the story that's being told here. Also, can we talk about how healthy the communication is between Yuki and Itsuomi?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that is adorable. I love that. I love seeing healthy communication in any sort of romance genre, and we never get it. Like, there's always misunderstandings and shit, and that wasn't this. In fact, really, the only misunderstanding was the most adorable thing ever, whenever it was a miscommunication in sign, and that's how they had their first kiss. Like, I love that.
Yeah. One thing I will say with Itsuomi and communication is that at one point, actually a couple points, one point he blocks her sight, and at another point, a couple points, he grabs her hands. And that was just like a little tiny bit of a warning. He's very new to this community, so like that is a forgiveness, I guess. But like, he effectively cuts off her communication. Like, and the reason, like, okay, so I'm less mad about the cutting off of her sight, because I was really mad at first. I was like, oh my God, he just blocked her vision. And that's like, he just blocked her out of the conversation. That's so fucking rude. But then I was like, oh wait, no, this is anime, and anime boys do just like cover your ears. So whenever they don't want you to hear anything. So him doing that is just something that happens in romance animes. Like, you'll just see anime boys just be like, no, you're not hearing this. Covered your ears. So same thing. He just covered her eyes. So I feel like in real life, don't do that. Rude. In anime, forgivable. And then when the couple of times when he like grabs her hands, they were still communicating fine. So I'm not too worried about it, but it's just one of those things like I am aware of. Like, it's effectively putting your hand over somebody's mouth in their mid-sentence. Like, it's kind of rude. But again, it's one of those things of like, in an anime, it translates different than how if you legitimately did that to someone in real life would work. So yeah, that was one thing that I wanted to comment on. Another thing is that I think I figured out why I'm not too keen on romance animes in general. And it's because I feel like I'm intruding. It was this anime that got me there, when they were like in there and in Itsuomi's bedroom, and like, he kind of tucked Yuki in, you know, that felt way too personal for me to be involved in. I was like, I'm going to make a swift exit, because this is not, I shouldn't be here. So I'm like, oh, I know why I feel awkward now, is because this is way too personal. Like, the other stuff, like, okay, fair enough, I could just be a friend looking in the corner or whatever. It's still kind of weird. But, like, this, I'm not here.
Yeah, no, I get that 100%.
One thing I've mentioned a bunch of times, so I'm only going to briefly touch on it, is English accents, and in this case, German accents. If you have people that are supposed to be native speakers, please hire voice actors from the native country to speak in that and then have them speak Japanese with an accent, because it provides a better listening experience to both Japanese audiences and Western audiences when your foreign character has a foreign accent.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think this is a thing across anime or across the board. I understand that is probably, they're fairly difficult to source and probably expensive to do so. So I am forgiving for smaller studios. This is a fairly small studio, so like I'm not mad about it. But to improve an anime, to make the immersion better, that is one of the things that I always touch on.
Yep.
Also, Costco.
Yeah. Costco was 100% portrayed. Even the hot dog and the pizza were portrayed. So, yeah, it's great. I like how Costco is just a running theme for today for
it
us.
It really is, yeah. Costco theme. Oh, I also really liked that they touched on how difficult it is for disabled people to get jobs. I thought that was...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an important thing for them to touch on.
Mm-hmm. OP and ED were also great. Like, ooh, really loved both of them.
The OP is Y2K gold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. I enjoyed the imagery in both of them. I love the, you know, story that's being told in the OP, like the way it all goes through. And then the watercolors of the ED. Mm-hmm. Ugh, I love watercolor animation so much. So big fan of just all of that. God, that's one of my OPs of the year, or just OP and ED combos of the year, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fully with you. First time I heard that OP, I was like, this is a fucking banger. And then I listened to it pretty much every single time that the anime, like, that it replayed again throughout the anime, which is huge for me because I skip. But, yeah, that, like, plucking through the guitar chords as opposed to, like, actually strumming the chords and then, like... Mm-hmm. Cutting off the strings and just like going through that. I don't play guitar, so I'm trying to word it the best that I can. That gives me huge like Y2K romance movie, like Princess Diaries vibes. It was so perfect for this show. Such a good choice of OP.
Yeah, no, it was incredibly excellent. I enjoyed that so much.
Yeah, me too. Any other thoughts?
No. I think we pretty much covered everything. I think we've touched on pretty much all of the topics throughout the show, the growth that happened, kind of where the relationships stand. There was a lot of resolution through this to where you could almost, you know, go with the assumption that there wouldn't be a second season because they tied everything off kind of with a little bow. They left it open-ended enough to where, like, you can definitely get a second season, and obviously there's going to be enough manga to where a second season is viable, if not a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I had it was really, really enjoyable for me. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to shut up about it for the past 3 months. And after like the fifth or sixth episode, I went and bought the entire manga set of what was available in English. So that ought to tell you how good of a time I had with this. Any further points you got for this?
I don't think so. I went through. Oh, I love that they kept changing Shin's hair. As an animation style, he's a hairstylist, so the fact that they kept changing his hair made so much sense to me. Freaking love that. Also, when Itsumi went off for like a month and then he came back, he had roots. These tiny attention to details with the animation, I think, were so clever. And they really made the show special. So I wanted to shout out that they really captivated the passing of time with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was very, very well done. I was a big fan of that.
Yeah.
So what you give it?
I think there's a lot of this show that I really like. There are some things that I don't care for so much, or things that I think they could improve on. So I'm going to say a 7.5. And I know that's...
Interesting.
I know that feels probably quite low to you, but I think they paid incredible attention to detail on a lot of stuff, but the episodes sometimes felt a teeny bit redundant to me. And maybe this is just because I've watched a lot of stuff that's very fast paced and this is more slower. But I wanted, I guess I felt less depth from the side characters than I wanted. There's like, they felt not flat, but like they didn't have any emotion other than what they were perpetually feeling, if that makes sense. Like, Shin kind of always felt dreary. Oshii kind of always felt like petty, angry. Emma kind of always felt naively excitable. Like you could tell it was kind of false, like a pretense of excitement. Rin was always on like 120% energy. Like, and it's not necessarily that it's a bad thing for that. I just feel like I wanted more diversity within their emotional spectrums, if that makes sense.
I can see where you're coming from. I feel like for me, the characters that kind of fell the most flat were Rin and Kyoya. I felt like Emma, Shin, and Oshii all kind of got their moments towards the end of, you know, trying to get depth. But Rin and Kyoya were definitely on the lesser end of the spectrum. Although I feel like they also didn't need the depth necessarily, because they're filling their own gaps in the storyline well enough to where I think eventually like we can get that depth, but for a first season, I don't think it was really necessary.
Yeah. I just feel like I've read a lot of stuff recently, where like a lot of manga and stuff recently where like people fall in love with the side character's romance story more than the primary character's romance story. I actually hear that a lot across like books and like a bunch of different media that I watch. That wasn't the case for this one. I didn't feel like Rin and Kyoya had a, like their bond felt shallow, and I don't really get why considering the amount of screen time that they had. And I think it could have been some smaller details that were added in that could have really made us ache to get them together. Like I still wanted them to get together, but like I wasn't like screaming at my computer to be like fucking fall in love with each other, you know. And and yeah, and I feel like I needed that parallel of like intensity or like some other big emotion to balance the cute sweet romance between Yuki and Itsuomi. I kind of wanted them to be like not necessarily turmoil, but like some other kind of intense emotion so that you had those parallel relationships. And I wonder if that's just a second season thing, but they were already together at the end of this one, so I just feel like, you know, make it dramatic for me. But that's also a personal preference thing, so it could be totally different in your guys' opinions, but to me, yeah, I'm like, I needed a little bit more drama.
I feel like if anything, though, it might have been closer to like an accurate representation of Japanese dating culture from everything that I've seen from a like online culture perspective, and that, you know, they don't really like, they're so career oriented and so focused on advancing through that to where a lot of times it seems almost more of a like convenience type thing of getting together and married. So it's like, hey, we're both single. We're both kind of unhappy with where we're at. So why don't we get together, which I mean, in my opinion, isn't really a, you know, reason for people to get together or have a relationship or get married or whatever. But on the flip side of that, though, I'm not used to, you know, being surrounded by a culture like that, so I can't really say anything about it. It's just that's kind of what popped into my head the more I thought about it, was just kind of how, you know, at least from everything that I've read and seen from like a dating culture perspective in Japan, that's just kind of what stands out to me.
Yeah.
As being the case.
Yeah. I think some very small adjustments could have made me fall in love with Rin and Kyoya's relationship a little bit more. And I think it was that I needed more from Kyoya. Now that I think about it, yeah. Rin was very in 100% right from the beginning. But even if I just had a couple lingering shots of Kyoya looking at Rin as she's like leaving the cafe, or like just like not even necessarily full scenes, just moments that show that she has captured his attention, as opposed to them just kind of being conversing characters in the background where there's no difference in animation between them and friends.
Yeah. No, I 100% get that. So I get where you're coming from.
But what do you give it?
9.75.
I knew.
You were expecting a 10. Don't lie.
I mean, I kind of was. What's the 0.25 off for?
You've made some very good points. But it's still my favorite romance of all time, so fuck you, 9.75.
Okay, that's fair enough. What points changed your mind a little bit? 2.5%.
Just a lot of the, you know, pointing out of, for one, the lip thing, that, because that was in my head too, to where I was like, that makes me a little uncomfy, but also I'll look past it, because also they did a lot of the lips in this show weird. Like, that was kind of one thing that stood out to me from an animation perspective, is how, like, all of the characters, especially the males, had weird lips.
No, I'm with you. Yeah.
So I was just kind of like, that's a little weird. And then, like you said, a lot of, like, dull flatness from some of the supporting characters. But there's also part of me that has more of a knowledge of the manga moving forward. So I feel like I'm a little bit more biased in my rating, knowing of things to come. But even without all of that, it's still a phenomenal story. It checks all of the boxes out of things that I want from a romance anime perspective. Like, I'm such a slice of life, hopeless romantic type of person whenever it comes to stuff like this. So it hits all of the boxes. The OP and ED, as we previously discussed, were absolutely phenomenal. So I have nothing bad to say about any of this. There's, you know, a couple points that, you know, definitely are detractors or kind of take you out of the show just a little bit. But overall, it's everything I want out of this. So it might not be a perfect story, but it's damn near perfect to me. So
yeah, and I mean, honestly, what more could you ask for?
I can't ask for any more. Like, I love the story. It's great. It gets to the fucking point.
Yes.
Early. Yeah. To where your meme is redundant.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I felt personally attacked with that.
Hey, you're not the only one. I watched like 200 plus episodes of Major, and they kiss in the very last episode.
Oh, spoilers.
Well, yeah. But also, Major, the first one, came out in like the 2000s. So if you're late to it, you're like a decade late to it. Like, two decades. I don't even know. Like, old late to it.
It's like the Death Note spoiler in the Anime Island episode comments of the live feed. It's just like, a part of me is like, I should probably delete that. Then I was like, nah, I can't be fucking bothered. It has been out since like 2006. So
yeah. Like 2010. Like, that's when it ended, I would say. Because like, it started, well, 2007 was when the third season came out. So like, if you're late to Major, you're late to Major.
That's a lot of baseball.
It's a lot of baseball. Especially considering they did Major 2, which I haven't seen.
We're getting a new baseball anime in the next season. I'm so excited. Yeah.
But anyway.
You want to watch something week to week?
Well, I mean, I would do for baseball. Which is weird because American baseball in real life never appealed. Anime baseball always appeals.
Yeah, I get that. So we ready to wrap this bitch up?
Let's wrap this bitch up.
All right. So thank you all so much for listening. Blue and I greatly appreciate it. You can check out all of our socials at BNB literally everywhere. We now have an Etsy shop, etsy.com/BNBanime, where we have ramen stickers. Blue also has her own personal Etsy shop at Blue Francis, where you can check out all of her lovely artwork as well. So do be sure to buy all the stickers, especially hers. She worked very hard on them.
Thanks.
And next week, we're back to covering one of the greatest fantasy anime of all time in Frieren. And I am so excited to finish it. I'm so happy. Ugh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. We've got so many episodes to watch since we only watched through like 12. So we've got 16 to get through this week.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're into your Renaissance Festival, Lord of the Rings, kind of phase right now, Freerun is right up your alley. Be sure to check it out. And then check out our episode coming next week on Freerun.
Yeah, and also check out our prior episode because we've already covered the first core of Freerun.
Yes.
On there. So plenty of free run content to come, plus plenty more content across the board. Also, our episode with Melissa White for Anime Island just aired. So do be sure to go check that out, and also go check out Melissa literally everywhere. She is a wonderful human being. I'm very happy with how that interview turned out. I'm thankful that she took part in it. So be sure to check that out. It's on YouTube, the podcast feed, literally everywhere where you could possibly find it. Go check it out because it's great. Yeah, and thank you all.
She's like a legit voice actor.
Yeah, legit. Like she do things. I've bought some of her work already. I bought an audiobook that she did of a book that's actually very incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah, be sure to check out her work because she's great and she's a phenomenal human being. But yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate it. We'll catch you in the next one. Bye-bye.